The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. Thank you for being with us. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam Rose. Gentlemen, looking dapper, suited and booted, and we are ready to go because we have a lot to tackle today. So let's do this. But let's begin with the Lakers, who lost by 17. You don't like his?
It's all right. I mean, it's just the same. You know what I'm saying? Man. I mean,
it's some version of the same thing.
I mean, Max is a good-looking dude. It's
that
just
is true.
It's the same. It's like it's the same thing all the time.
Go back to the first part.
I'm just saying.
See,
you know what I'm saying?
It's okay. I don't
he's
need to.
He's a dapper man or whatever. I'm just saying. You know, I mean, it's just worthy.
I think I said
now
suited
you
and booted
with
and
the white Molly. Now, that's fly.
Thank
we
you.
We all know Molly looks good in everything. Go ahead.
Just trying to keep up with you all.
That's right.
Thank you.
Keep up. She's trying to keep up with us.
All right, guys.
That's funny.
I am.
Let's go.
All right. Gentlemen, best in the business. Let's talk about these Lakers, though. They lost by 17, obviously, to the Suns. This is the first game where they haven't had AD. He's been out for a while with the calf. Now we have LeBron with the high ankle sprain. Max, are you starting to get concerned here, starting to lose faith in L.A.'s ability to overcome all these struggles?
I'm not, because when you say overcome all the struggles, what we're really talking about is LeBron and AD's injury, period. Now, AD is expected to play in April, coming right up. And LeBron also is supposed to be back before the end of the regular season. And if that holds true, then they have enough of a cushion right now in the Western Conference where they won't miss the playoffs. If you're like, whoa, we're talking about the Lakers missing the playoffs, the Western Conference is very competitive. And when you are a top-heavy team, which is a good idea, if you can be the kind of team that has LeBron and AD, guess what? You're usually not going to be very deep with starting caliber players, and that is that's the case of the Lakers. Schroeder's like an average starting point guard, which is a pretty good player. You can be an average starting NBA point guard. They probably don't have another starting caliber player on the roster. Some good rotation pieces, that's about it. They have about, 15 games on the outside where they have to compete, win at least five of them, let's say, and they'll still be in the playoffs. That's the main thing. You got to make sure you don't miss the playoffs, and it seems from reports with LeBron and AD that they will be back with enough time that the Lakers won't fall out of the playoff picture. After that, guys, the seeding in the playoffs, Stephen A., they're going to have to beat some combination of Denver, Utah, the Clippers, any which way you slice it, whether that's in an early round matchup or late round matchup. There's no getting through the Western Conference without facing some very good teams. If you're the Lakers, whether it's the Blazers, the Suns, whoever it is, there are going to be multiple dangerous teams you'll have to navigate through in the playoffs. I believe they're going to be okay, provided LeBron and AD are on the court.
I'm not so sure, Max Kellerman. I'm not so sure. One reason is that if the playoffs were to begin today, do you know who the Lakers' opponent would be?
They are in fourth now.
They are in third, and it would be the Portland Trailblazers.
Right.
It would be the Portland Trailblazers. Let's pay attention to that. And the reason why we have to pay attention to that is because the two teams ahead of them conceivably could stay that way in Utah and Phoenix for the regular season,
sure,
with a little bit under 30 games left. We also have to pay attention to this, and this is why I say I'm not so sure. Max Kellerman, you know, I'm a busy man. I'm a very, very busy man. I host three shows, for crying out loud. I co-host First Take, okay, obviously. I got Stephen A's World, and then obviously I got NBA with Stephen A. That not to mention the Sports Center duties and everything else I got going on, plus I'm an executive producer. I'm a busy man, okay? So I bring that up, Max, to point out how I try to leave the inside of business to the greats like Wojnarowski and others, like Woj and others. Like, you know, we got Zach Lowe, everybody else. I mean, listen, Mark Spears, a whole bunch of people, okay? We got people. We got the gamut covered here at ESPN. But I'm getting suspicious. Hasn't KD been out a little bit too long?
KD?
Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
KD, mm-hmm. I bring up KD and AD in the same sentence. AD's been about 20 games. You know, and again, we're leaning back on Max Kellerman. before KD went down in the finals, because Max kept telling, I don't give a damn what y'all say. You understand what I'm saying? Even though some people would still argue, even after he tore his Achilles, that one had nothing to do with the other, whatever.
If it quacks like a duck, what?
If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it ain't a mongoose. I got all of that. You know me. But what I'm saying is, my antennas are getting raised. I'm about to get nosy, is what I'm trying to say. Usually, I'm just sitting back. I'm hosting. You know, I get calls. I got contacts. I've been covering the league for a quarter century. I got major contacts. All of that stuff is good. But I don't have time, okay? I don't have time, all right? I get my information, but I lean on the dudes because we got a crew here at ESPN. But I'm getting suspicious. It's been a little bit too long with these injuries. And I'm starting to feel, Max, that you know what? It's worse than we're being led to believe. And so I'm of the mindset, first of all, Lakers ain't winning the West without both AD and LeBron. Ain't happening. So, and I ain't worried about LeBron coming back. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not accusing him of faking the injury by any stretch of the imagination. I would never accuse any player of doing that, especially LeBron. But I don't care if LeBron's out the next month and a half. He deserves it. He's in the NBA Finals. The brother shows up, only missed one game this year. I don't give a damn if LeBron takes the next month off. I know that brother going to be ready come playoff time. I have no doubt. AD's an entirely different matter. And without AD, Lakers might go home in the first round. Now, I can't see it. I can't see it because LeBron don't go home in the first round. But I'm getting very, very, very suspicious on the West Coast with AD and on the East Coast with KD. I'm getting very, very suspicious.
Sherlock is going to dust off the pipe and the hat.
Columbo, Madlock, Perry Mason, pick it. I don't give a damn. I'm beyond inquisitive at this point. It's getting to the point. I'm not ready to say that the Lakers have nothing to worry about because I'm not sure. There's not something to worry about with AD. And so as a result of that, and I said this from day one, ain't no way in hell he coming back 100%. He going to play 100%. He's going to be unconcerned about anything. I don't believe it, Max. I don't believe it. So because of that is why I say to you, I'm not sure at all, and I don't think you nor anyone else should be sure about the Los Angeles Lakers because they need both to defend their crown, not just LeBron.
Well, that's right. You can't be sure, and you have every right to be suspicious. KD has been MIA, and so has AD.
Right.
And we've kind of, that's why we're asking, are you losing faith? You know, it's been sort of an article of faith. Yeah, but KD will get back. And when KD gets back, the Nets. And when AD gets back, the Lakers, you can look at the odds in Vegas. Those are the two leading odds-on favorites.
Well, a little less with KD because KD was the hamstring. You see what I'm saying?
But when AD, it was
the Cavs.
No doubt, but KD's coming off an Achilles.
Right.
And now you have leg issues.
Yeah.
And so you get worried. By the way, look into it. Absolutely. That's worth looking into. I'll say this, though. I still have faith in the sense that what has been reported so far is that AD will be back. I'll stick to the Lakers right now.
Okay.
AD is supposed to play in April. Does that give him and the Lakers, number one, can the Lakers survive until then and hold on to a playoff seed? I think the answer is yes. Number two, even if it's 15 games, all you got to do is win five of those, let's say. Number two, once he gets back and LeBron gets back, do they have enough time to get the chemistry going, to get in real basketball
shape? I'm not concerned about that.
Before the playoffs? I think the answer is yes. Then I ask myself, if they have LeBron and AD as most of themselves, most of themselves, do I like them to get out of the West? The answer is yes. By the way, you brought up LeBron's injury. You know he's going to be all right. As a Lakers fan, any Lakers fan out there should thank their lucky stars because that injury to me, Stephen A., when I saw it originally, looked like a season ender to me. The knee to me seemed to move to the side. I was like, uh-oh. The fact that it's turned out to be a high ankle sprain is a blessing compared to what
that could
have been.
But I just saw the way his leg rolled, and I wasn't concerned about it at all because it's LeBron. I really wasn't concerned about it at all. I said, you know something? He needs a break. He needs a break anyway.
He walked off by himself. That was good.
You can't. The guy is 36 years of age in his 18th season and playing more games than anybody else. I mean, if I'm other guys, I would be embarrassed. Not guys with legitimate bona fide injuries that have them out. But I'm talking about these strains and you're not 100% and that's a reason to take nights off and all of this other stuff. This brother doesn't miss games.
So
I look at it from that perspective, and I'm like, I ain't worried about LeBron. He deserves his break. AD is a huge concern
for
me.
What percentage of himself does AD have to come back at for them to get out of the West, past the Jazz, past the Nuggets, past the Clippers, the Suns?
85%.
At least 85%. At least 85%. I think that's about right. He has to be mostly himself.
At least 85%. If Anthony Davis is not at least 85%, the Lakers are not coming out of the Western Conference. Lakers ain't getting to the conference finals.
Don't sleep on the Mavs either. I'm telling people, they had a lot of COVID issues early. The West is a beast. It's a beast right now.
Well, listen, you say the Mavs, I say Portland, and I'm going to bring up the
Clippers. Phoenix.
But they're young. I just think there's a missing piece. But I love the fact they got point guard play, obviously. They got coaching. They got young athletes. They got a star in Devin Booker. I love what I'm seeing from Phoenix. I still think they're an additional piece away. But for me, this is it. If the Clippers can't do it this year, I think we need to have the discussion as to whether or not the whole Kawhi Leonard move was an absolute bust.
Last thing, Jamal Murray is normally about a borderline all-star regular season. Mm-hmm. He was a superstar in the playoffs.
Who?
Jamal Murray.
Yes, no question.
If Jamal Murray shows up in these playoffs,
I think he will.
Denver
I believe Jamal Murray will step up because I think that's the kind of play he is. Molly, I want to reiterate because I saw your reaction to what I said.
We need to revisit that Kawhi point that you just said.
I'm going to say it again. If the Los Angeles Clippers don't even make it to the conference finals this year, the Kawhi Leonard move was an absolute bust.
Why? Yes, they've never been in a conference final.
That's why.
For him,
but
too,
how is it a bust? They're where
Stephen
they always are.
Too?
No. That's
maybe
unacceptable.
Maybe he should have stayed in Toronto? All right.
Either
we'll
that or going
that.
To the
we'll
Lakers.
See what happens. But obviously, guys, if they continue to keep dropping here in the standings, it's going to be a much tougher road to get back to the finals for the Lakers. No doubt about that. Right now, they're in third. Let's keep it going. And I have some very serious, sad news today that I want to share with you. Hall of Fame forward Elgin Baylor, who followed his illustrious playing career with decade-long tenure as L.A. Clippers general manager, has died at the age of 86. Baylor died of natural causes Monday. He was surrounded by his wife, Elaine, his daughter, Crystal. The Lakers said in a statement, considered one of basketball's greatest players, Baylor was an 11-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA selection, his 14 seasons with the Lakers from 58 to 71. Stephen A., how will you remember Elgin Baylor?
One of the greatest players in NBA history, one of all-time 50 greatest players, somebody that should have been in the discussion for being a top 10 player of all time, career averages of 27-13. They speak for themselves. Obviously, a multitude of championships obviously escaped him. He couldn't get it done with Jerry West. The one year they had the title, he retired that year in 1972. And so, you know, I think it was like 8 NBA Finals appearances and didn't happen for him. But he was somebody that was vastly underappreciated, not just as a basketball player, but as a man. My heart goes out to him and his family. You know, Jerry West reacting the way that he did with his former teammate, obviously incredibly sincere. Irvin Magic Johnson and others spoke very, very glowingly about him over the years. We know what he meant to the game of basketball. He's right there, inducted into the Hall of Fame in 77. But I think that the bottom one, where it says he spent 22 seasons as the Clippers general manager, I think one of the reasons why we lack appreciation for him to the degree that we have Max and Molly is because he spent so much time in that role with the Clippers, working under Donald Sterling. And Donald Sterling, even though we later learned other things about him, prior to that, he was notoriously incredibly cheap. You know, I remember one time when somebody told me a story about how, you know, they wanted to move the Clippers to Anaheim or whatever, and, you know, had a great, great deal for him to move the Clippers to Anaheim. And Donald Sterling said, oh, no, that traffic's a bear. You know what I'm saying? He said, that traffic's a bear.
I think they had the deal done, and he walked out.
And he walked out because he didn't want to be subjected to traffic, okay? And he was so notoriously cheap that when you looked at Elgin Baylor and some of the so many things that Donald Sterling got in the way of, it sort of tarnished Elgin Baylor in folks' eyes because they were thinking about Elgin Baylor, the general manager that worked under that man, instead of Elgin Baylor, one of the greatest, greatest players the game of basketball has ever or will ever see. And I think that part is unfortunate. But in the end, on a day like today, we get to reflect on Elgin Baylor, the player, and he was nothing short of sensational.
First of all, I don't think there's like a top 10 or a top 20 because those are arbitrary numbers. I think there's a cutoff.
Yep.
Like, here's the inner sanctum of the greatest players who ever lived. Yep. Let's leave the bigs out of it for a second and talk about the non-bigs because we know who the bigs are. Mm. You know, Kareem and Bill Russell and Wilt and Shaq and Duncan and Olajuwon and maybe Moses Malone probably is the uppermost tier of that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the non-bigs, you have Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, Magic, Bird. KD will probably be there by the time he's all done. Oscar Robertson, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West. Right, Elgin Baylor mm-hmm. is in that first tier of non-bigs of all time. He's in among the greatest that there ever were. The reason I think that more people aren't aware of him is because there's not a lot of video of him in his prime. I have a caller to the radio show, Stephen A. Max, Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, mm-hmm. 2 p.m. Eastern.
That's right.
Download the podcast.
That's right.
Richard from Manhattan was an old-timer who mm-hmm. said, I asked him, I said, you know, all the video I see, he's going into the air and improvising in the air, making passes, making shots, but I don't see him as above the rim so much. I don't see him dunking a lot of it. He said, oh, no, he was above the rim dunking all the time. Just there's not as much video from that era.
Right.
He was the guy, when you watch Dr. J and Michael Jordan, you can see where it starts with Elgin Baylor, where he goes up into the air and creates. So not only is he one of the greatest of all time, and he put up the numbers and he's a Hall of Famer, but he also, the game that we love the very most, the athletes in the NBA that we admire the very most, the Jordans and Kobes, the guys where your jaw drops and you watch the aerial show, that started really with Elgin Baylor. His influence on the game was enormous, and he's one of the greatest players of all time. It's a sad day.
Absolutely. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Look at this one I have for you. Of the Sweet 16 matchups in the men's tournament, Villanova and Syracuse are the only two teams that have won a title in the last 25 years. 15 seed Oral Roberts shattering brackets as the highest seed remaining. And four Pac-12 teams in the Sweet 16 all are six seeds or worse. A lot of parity. We're missing some heavyweight programs, but all the upsets surely have been exciting. And I know our guy, Seth Greenberg, is loving it. Coach, top of the morning to you. Great to see you as always. I will get to you in just a moment, but I am going to start with Stephen A. Stephen A, is the lack of blue bloods this season good or bad for the NCAA?
You know what? It's a tough one for me. I would tell you that you like the blue bloods, but it's college basketball, and anytime you have an opportunity to see new blood step into the equation, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing, because what happens is that usually with the blue bloods, you see guys being one and done. You know, whereas with the smaller universities or the universities or the schools with less notoriety, you usually may not see that. So as a result of it, anytime you're talking about cats staying in school longer, it's going to definitely be something that buffers the quality of play for the NCAA tournament. We're looking at it. We're witnessing it now because we're seeing experienced teams that are advancing and the teams that are younger are home. That's just my thinking.
Yeah, I think along the same lines of thinking, it's good not to see blue bloods for the reason that we're not seeing them, not just because they're not there. Because the pendulum swung in college basketball to the point that even Duke and players, okay, we got to get the most talent, recruit the most talented players. Problem is the most talented players are there for 1 year. So interest wanes because you don't even get to know the guys in the program. They're gone already. And in a COVID year, where you have limited togetherness, right? Limited time to get to know each other, limited experience. That really hurt blue blood programs. And because of that, what I'm hoping is not just that, well, blue bloods not being in it is good, but the effect that it will have may be good. Because if you look at Gonzaga, you look at you, right? If you're a mid-major that can't just get the best, most talented recruits, that can be a benefit for the stability of the program because you'll have experience on your squad and maybe the pendulum will start to swing a little bit in the other direction. Of course, you want the most talented recruits. Of course, a lot of those guys, the NBA-level guys, are going to be one and dones, but you have to have the right mix. Just like on an NBA team, if you have a young, improving team, you got to bring in some veterans who can actually still play, get some minutes to show them the way so they go in the right direction. And for that reason, I think what it indicates about or what the effect it may have, not having blue bloods right now, when we're talking about Duke and Kentucky, could be a good thing.
You know, Max, first and foremost, Gonzaga is not a mid-major. Gonzaga is a high-major program with NBA talent right now, and they have been for the last 3 or 4 years. Here's the deal. This is the great thing about the NCAA tournament, because first and foremost, you earn your way in. How do you earn your way in? By your resume. You have to beat good people. You've got to win your conference championship if you're one bid league. You earn your way in. Then once you get there, you're either good enough or you're not good enough. The difference between our tournament and, say, college football playoffs is that an Abilene Christian could never exist. A Loyola Chicago could never exist. An Oral Roberts could never exist. But in our tournament, there's an opportunity. Those programs get an opportunity to play, and if they are unique, if they have a different identity, if they can find a way to win, then it is terrific. Look, Duke's going to be back. Kentucky's going to be back. Indiana eventually is going to be back. That's great. But the new bloods are a true thing, Stephen A. And to see Florida State, to see Michigan re-evolve, to see these Loyola teams evolve, that's great for college basketball. It's great for the viewer. Think about the tournament the last few days. We have great games, great finishes, Cinderella stories. We have Syracuse, who barely got in, now all of a sudden in the Sweet 16. So I think the most important thing is we have competitive games, and we have teams that have the opportunity to advance and win on their merit, not on their reputation, not on their history, not on, you know, who played prior, but in this moment in time. So I think the tournament's been great. I think it absolutely captures your imagination. Here's my question for you guys. Can the tournament survive without a player that you can just wrap your arms around? Like, about the best players in the tournament. You got Jalen Suggs. He'll be a lottery pick. You got Evan Mosley. He'll be a lottery pick. You had Cade Cunningham. But you don't have that one guy that all of a sudden transcends
the
whole tournament.
Well, wait a minute. You don't, Coach, and that's the problem, because I think you need one, just one, and you don't have that right now. That's number one. I tell you what the problem is with number two. We sit up there and we look at certain conferences, for example, the Big East, the ACC, the Pac-12, all of this other stuff. Here's the deal, Coach. The Big Ten had 9 teams get into the tournament. One is standing after opening weekend of the tournament. One! And that's Michigan with Juwan Howard. What the hell happened to the other eight? Illinois got stomped. I mean, Loyola Chicago led from start to finish, okay?
Pac-12
we saw what happened to Wisconsin. We saw what happened to Iowa. We saw what happened to Rutgers, who, by the way, I mean, you should be in the Big East. You're in Piscataway, New Jersey. I don't know why the hell you're in the Big Ten. That's a different subject for another day. My question
Not
to you.
Far west for
my
for you.
Question to you is, what the hell is up with that? Michigan State lost as well. They gave up a lead. They gave up a double-digit lead and ended up losing. What's up with the Big Ten?
Here's my take on the Big Ten. I'm going to give you all the narratives, or at least what you're going to hear. First and foremost, you're going to hear, you know what, they beat up on each other. Maybe that's a problem. Going to hear is, you know what, they were in Indianapolis for 2 weeks, and, you know, they were there so long they got stale. Here's the deal. Within the season, the Big Ten was elite. All right, to me, it was the best coached, it was the best executed, it was the most mature, the most competitive league in college basketball. It is underperformed in the NCAA tournament. Couple of reasons why. One, they played against teams with unique playing styles that beat them. That's number one. They didn't play up to their level of ability. There's no doubt about it. Number two, you also had some teams lose that, quite honestly, UCLA, Michigan State, it's a push. This wasn't a vintage Michigan State team. Wisconsin beat North Carolina. They lost to Baylor. I can live with that. The games that concern you were Purdue losing, Ohio State losing, all right? those losses were tough. They played against teams that played unique styles. And you know what? When you own the identity of a game, you have a chance for an upset. The Big Ten flat out underperformed, and yet the Pac-12 overperformed. You had Oregon State, who barely got into the tournament, but they won 9 of the last 10. They were hot. They get in, and now they're into the Sweet 16. Pretty interesting. Oregon, they let one 12. They were 12-3 their last 15. They're finally healthy. They play a style of basketball that's different. They've kind of probably overperformed. But it's real simple. It's one and done. This is not a seven-game series. This is not a five-game series.
Yeah.
If you pick a bad day to have a bad day,
Coach,
you're getting
Coach,
bounced in this tournament.
Coach, how much of that is randomness, though, and how much of it is what Dickie V brought up on this show yesterday, where in the Big Ten, maybe they're beating up on each other. And the Pac, you know, you don't want – maybe just Pac-12 is underrated, but it's not as grueling maybe, in you know, to get to the tournament.
Yeah, the Big Ten did beat up on each other, and they played their tournament in Indianapolis, and they were there for a long time, like I said earlier. I think that that's a factor, but they're better than this. All right, let's face it. Ohio State, you got to go and win that game. You got to go win that game. Yes?
Let me say this, a statement, and I'll give you the last word on this. Yeah, they're better than this, you're right, and I appreciate you saying that. Max Kellerman, you too, Coach. I don't want to hear no damn thing about them beating up on each other. Excuse me, when we talk about basketball and we talk about basketball players, what you hear consistently is that you get out there, you practice, you go up against competition because it prepares you for competitive play. It's when you don't practice and you don't go against competitive competition that you might be ill-prepared. So the way I look at the Big Ten, and if anybody from the Big Ten utters this excuse, they should be ashamed of their damn selves. What do you mean, oh, we beat up on each other? The fact that you balled against stiff competition within your own conference should have better prepared you
Illinois,
for the NCAA tournament.
And Illinois was, stomping some teams at the end who were good teams. They should have. It's not like they were beaten up.
At the end. But they lost their game. Listen, Illinois had some flaws.
You got to beat the best.
Oh, there you go.
Go ahead, Coach.
Well, look, Steve, I agree with that.
Fire them up, Coach.
There was absolutely a clinic put on. The Illinois game, that was a clinic by Loyola Chicago.
That's right.
Plain and simple. Yeah. They took Iodasumo out of the game. They made Krautwig a passer. They never pressured the passers. Therefore, Krautwig could just pick people apart. Look, game plan comes into it. But you're right. In essence, the league has underperformed. And, oh, by the way, Molly, your team, well, not your team because your team lost. I'm sorry about that.
Oh.
Your team lost, but
oh, yeah.
Michigan
bad.
Got the worst draw
Michigan,
of anyone
Florida.
Because now they're going to have to play Florida State.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
And Florida State is a team that could create problems because they are one of the new bloods, and they are for real.
Yeah, 1-4 matchup. But I can say this, guys, real quick. Maybe I'm prisoner of the moment, but I had so much fun watching the games over the weekend, and I could argue that all the upsets, all the parity, all the underdogs is even more exciting than just having the chalk teams that we normally see. I'm really looking forward to Saturday and Sunday again. Yeah,
Max. The upsets early. If you want chalk, you want it late. But the upsets on that first weekend are amazing.
I want a monster that everybody's trying
incredible.
To knock off. I don't see that.
No question.
Yeah,
Gonzaga
right,
Coach,
and Baylor
great to
are the teams
you.
That everyone wants to see.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, Stephen A's been high on them as well. All right, Coach, we'll talk to you soon. Yeah,
thanks.
We'll see how that Michigan-Florida State game pans out. All right, thank you. Have a great day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hot off the presses, we got Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft. Four QBs off the board with the first four picks, including the Panthers trading up to the third spot to take Justin Fields. We need to address that, Mel. More offense on the rest of the top 10, including tight end Kyle Pitts going in the top five to the Bengals. Miami getting Jaylen Waddle after swapping first round picks with the Finns. Here to explain it all, my guy, Mel. How we doing?
Great, Mel.
So much to discuss. Mm-hmm. We're getting closer, Mel. April 29th to May 1st, it all goes down. A girl loves some NFL draft. Talk to me about Justin Fields, and you have the Panthers moving up to third overall, and apparently they're also in the sweepstakes for Deshaun Watson. Why do you think this is the move for the Panthers?
Well, certainly, like you say, we'll see on Deshaun Watson, but if you obviously move up from 8-3 to get Justin Fields, you're talking about a quarterback will allow you to be ahead of the game in that division in the years to come. Tom Brady can't play forever. New Orleans is now figuring it out after Drew Brees, and Matt Ryan's going to be 36 this year. So when you think about where they could be with Justin Fields, I think he's the second best quarterback in this draft in terms of my ratings behind Trevor Lawrence. Some think Zach Wilson is the second best quarterback. Some think even the third best quarterback is Trey Lance, with Justin Fields fourth. I don't agree with that, but I think Justin Fields, you're going to hold a game, two games against Justin Fields against Indiana Northwestern, Trey Lance against Central Arkansas struggled this year. So to me, Justin Fields is an enormously talented quarterback, dual threat, had a big 2019 season. Yes, he did have two subpar games this year and a COVID interrupted season. So I'm going to go Justin Fields at three with Carolina moving up to get him.
I want to play the role of instigator here, Mel Kiper. Usually I don't like to do such things, but I think in this particular instance, I think I'll make an exception, sir, by veering away from your mock draft just for a second, because I had the pleasure of watching you on Get Up this morning, and you were really going off about Carson Wentz and how idiotic the Eagles were to move him. Now, I work across from somebody that is the ultimate Carson Wentz critic. He would be the foremost expert on all things Carson Wentz, although Dan Orlovsky would argue with that. But I'm talking about Max Kellerman here that I suspect will disagree with you. Could you explain why you were so fired up about the Eagles letting go of Carson Wentz, and why you thought, why you labeled it a stupid thing for them to do by trading it?
Because he's a great quarterback. And to me, that, you know, I say, you just say great. Well, until you win big, maybe you're not great. Obviously, won a Super Bowl when he was out, Foles did. But I think when you look at what they have there at Philadelphia moving forward, let's think about what they have, not what they had this year, which was nothing. And you're going to hold that against your quarterback, then basically give him away to Indianapolis and Frank Reich. And they will win. And they will win big, I think, at Indy with Carson Wentz. He's young, 28, right? So you think about where they are now with Jalen Hurts. That was the question. Are you moving forward with Hurts? Well, why wouldn't you if you're casting away a Carson Wentz? So to me, it is now Hurts, and you build around Hurts and you add Jamar Chase. That was the whole point of that question. But in terms of Carson Wentz, and I thought Chicago should have been interested, Stephen A., in Carson Wentz. They weren't. I understand. We see what we saw, and that's the obvious, is we saw Carson Wentz struggle. But there were reasons for it. And I don't excuse away everything, but when catastrophic injuries hit a quarter, this isn't golf or tennis. So your quarterback needs some help to be effective. And Carson now gets a fresh start back with Frank Reich in Indianapolis. Now it's his chance to silence any critics he may have. When he was an MVP guy, he had 3 years where he had put up numbers that were right up there with the elite of the elite, but that wasn't good enough for some. That's fine. Everybody has an opinion, but I'm a Carson Wentz supporter.
I don't want to get into a side argument about Carson Wentz. The fact is, the team always performed at least as well when anyone else was under center, and oftentimes better. They were dead in the water at 5-6. Foles took over. They caught fire in defense of the Super Bowl, which Foles also was the MVP of. He played him into the playoffs, won a playoff game, very nearly won another one. Carson Wentz didn't do any of that stuff. And the team responded to a 40-year-old quarterback in the playoffs against the same Seattle team, just like they responded with Wentz, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want to talk about my New York Giants. My New York football Giants. Mel, I love your new mock draft because after the Galladay signing, what I really want them to get now in the draft is a guy who can go get the quarterback either at the defensive end position or the linebacker position or both maybe because they're absolutely loaded almost everywhere else now, it seems to me, and you have them taking the kid out of Michigan, the linebacker.
Yeah, I think when you look at the defensive end outside linebacker, Kwity Paye, a freakish talent who plays hard, plays nasty, and has versatility, Max. And I thought about 11. Is that a little high when you think about 16, 17? My attitude is you can play, you can play. And I'm not going to split hairs on 11 to 16. I thought about cornerback, but they brought in Adoree Jackson. So they've done things. Kenny Golladay, they've done things to address areas of concern, help out Daniel Jones, help the defense. This could be that final missing link, that outside pass rusher that they need, Leonard Williams along the interior. Now you have a great outside threat getting after the quarterback. So for me, Kwity Paye, of all the pass rushers in this draft, Gregory Rousseau, one great year at Miami, opted out. Jalen Phillips left UCLA to go to Miami, had a heck of a year, but the durability concern. Kwity Paye of the pass rushers in the first round is probably the safest pick because I love his talent and I love his attitude and his approach.
Mel, let's talk a little bit about the receivers here. So I'm looking at the first ones coming off the board, but I think it's interesting. Why do you have the Eagles taking Ja'Marr Chase before Smith?
A mock draft, Molly, is who you talk to and what they think. And I'm a Devontae Smith guy, slightly over Ja'Marr Chase. It's like A.J. Green, Julio Jones. We like them, but they're splitting hairs trying to figure out which one you like better when they came out. Same thing here with Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith. But people in the league that I've spoken to like Ja'Marr Chase. And that's what you go by when you look at a mock. Will it happen that way? Who knows? Like I say, I have Devontae Smith going right behind Ja'Marr Chase at 7 to the Detroit Lions. So Chase had that one spectacular year. He opted out. But he's got enormous talent, and he's a tough guy to handle in one-on-one situations. So for me, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles and you have Jalen Hurts now as your quarterback in year two, and let's face it, this isn't year five and year six like it used to be when you really wanted quarterbacks to come into their own. Now it's year two, year three, so why not start that ball rolling for Hurts? If he's your guy and they believe in him, he's a winner, he's a leader, this team responded to him, as Max talked about. All of a sudden now you get Ja'Marr Chase, you get Rager up to speed in year two, and you keep those guys healthy, which you couldn't with last year, obviously, at a variety of positions. Lost two offensive linemen before the year even started. Now you give Hurts a fighting chance to have some success maybe as a year two quarterback and then assess him at the end of the year to figure out if you have to find a quarterback if you don't think Hurts is going to be good enough.
Let me go back to Justin Fields because you got him at number three with Carolina. The Jets, they've got the number two pick. I mean, we were talking about Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields for the longest time, and then suddenly here we are, this guy, Zach Wilson, out of BYU, 33 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions, complete 73% of his passes. He had an impressive year last year. We get all of that. But how did he elevate over Justin Fields?
Certainly the kind of year he had, which you talked about the numbers, Stephen A., against subpar competition has been my take on it. And I watched Zach Wilson. He came back. He had that shoulder surgery in 2019, built up his body stronger, was much better in terms of awareness in the pocket, eliminated the fumbles, which had haunted him a bit, and some bad interceptions. They all went away. So all of a sudden, now you see this guy spinning it with great arm strength, mobility, basketball player in high school, and Justin Fields had those two subpar games. People saying all of a sudden, I didn't. I stood firm with Justin Fields as the second highest rated quarterback, but the consensus around the league is it's going to be Zach Wilson taken ahead of Justin Fields at the second spot in the draft. And that's what a mock draft is. And I have Justin Fields with Carolina trading up. And some people think Trey Lance is a more highly regarded quarterback prospect or higher on the ratings board than Justin Fields, Stephen A. So Justin Fields has taken a few hits in terms of the rankings for some people. For me, though, he remains the second highest rated quarterback.
I get the feeling someone's going to get a real good value in this draft on Justin Fields, Mel. I want to talk about Waddle because of all the receivers that you've mentioned, the guy who reminds me most of Tyreek Hill, right? Like the different kind of, ooh, that guy can change a game kind of talent, to me looks like Waddle. What are your thoughts on Waddle and where he's going?
Yeah, when he got hurt October 24th, that's why I really thought Mac Jones showed well because he lost Jalen Waddle. He had Devontae Smith, lost his center late. He still put up numbers. But for Jalen, up until that point, he was as good as any receiver in this country. He was putting up numbers that were spectacular. He was making catches. He was getting touchdowns from way out. And a great punt returner as well. And he got hurt on a kick return against Tennessee to start that game. He's back now. He's ready. Both he and Devontae Smith are incredible competitors. They came back for a reason, to win a national title. And yeah, guess what? They did it. So they came back and they did what Clemson did a few years ago. Those guys came back and won it. Alabama kids came back and won it. Jalen's right there with Devontae Smith and Ja'Marr Chase. Make no mistake, there are some people that feel Jalen Waddle is the best player in this draft at the wide receiver position because he is also a great punt returner and will be a tremendous, as you say, maybe a Tyreek Hill type, certainly. But if Miami can go from 3 to 8, move down, collect more draft choices, and get Jalen Waddle at 8, that's a heck of a move for the Miami Dolphins.
No question. I will leave you with this. Disappointing news for Stephen A. because he loves going to Lake Erie. He misses when LeBron was in Cleveland. But you will be there, Mel. We're going to have a live in-person draft in Cleveland. None of this virtual. That's the plan as of right now. So it's very exciting. We got the NCAA tournament, the draft happening. So it feels like we're getting back to normal. Some normalcy.
You go ahead and you enjoy Cleveland, Mel. You go ahead and you enjoy Cleveland, Mel. You have a good old time.
We stayed at a great hotel. I liked our hotels there.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
Right.
I like the hotels.
Thank
How about the midges?
Thanks, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Those bugs? Goodbye. Oh. These two are such divas. Bye, Mel. Thank you.